When they saw the star, and they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. What in the world? How often that simple expression trips over our lips without us giving it much thought, as we recognize that something we're seeing, something we're experiencing, is something different, something beyond explanation, maybe even beyond comprehension. That's why we make it so big. What in the world? Place yourself in the shoes of an everyday, ordinary citizen of Bethlehem that day. All that you're seeing, all that you're experiencing, your little town, likely overwhelmed by all that is going on. If you follow the prophecies of the Old Testament, not so much the explicit play-by-play of the New Testament Gospels, but the prophecies of the Old Testament, it's not a stretch, really, to see in your mind's eye hills covered with flocks, herds. How much would it take to support magi, great ones, to keep them safe, to supply all their needs? A tent city? How many people descended on Bethlehem that day? Under 100? In the hundreds? It's not too hard to imagine. You, as an ordinary, everyday Bethlehemite, seeing all of this going on and letting out with a what in the world? And you'd be so right. For the world had arrived at baby Jesus' doorstep. Men of the world, men of significance, men of wealth, men of power, men of presence had searched long and hard and traveled far for this very moment. They had sought out, after seeing a star in the heavens, the King of the Jews. The star had led them. They had followed it. Had they risked everything, even their very reputations, to take so much time and energy and resource to pursue a baby being born somewhere far off in a foreign land that hardly any of them had ever heard of? We don't know for sure. But we do understand from what's presented to us in the Word, the effort that they went through, the focus, the intensity, the desire they had to find this child. And so that star led them to Jerusalem. And they knocked on Herod's palace door. He wasn't really all that much help. Sure, he got his gathered advisors together, men who knew something of the Scriptures, and they were able to throw to the Magi this reality that somewhere in the dark ages of Scripture it had said something about Bethlehem. But as soon as they left Herod's palace, as soon as they got themselves outside of Jerusalem, there was the star again. The star was the one doing all the work. The star was the one that led them rejoicing to this baby Jesus. Who were these men? We have no idea, really. Where they came from is as much a mystery. But from everything we see, from what they say, how they react to hearing Scripture, to hearing angels, to all of the details of the account we're given here, we know they had heard the promises of a God who was willing to forgive, a God who was willing to promise a better life, a better existence after everything they had experienced here. These men pursued Jesus, pursued the King of the Jews, the Messiah promised long ago, because they were as broken and sinful, their lives twisted and tainted with their failures and their rebellions and their selfishness as much as anyone sitting in this room tonight. And knowing that the God of Israel had spoken his word of promise that a day would come when a star would appear and it would mean the birth of the one human being who could undo the curse of sin, could bring about peace with God for each human individual, that could offer a better existence, a better life, an eternity with God. They were all in. And anyone witnessing this parade of this entourage from Jerusalem to Bethlehem was likely left scratching their heads in wonder and perhaps just saying it. What in the world is this all about? We don't know how many other people actually were eyewitnesses to the encounter of these great ones, the Magi, and Joseph and Mary, and the toddler Jesus. Did it all happen inside the house? Or because of the greatness of the men and the throng that had arrived, did Mary and Joseph bring Jesus out of that house? We don't know. But look at what it tells you. These great ones, however many there were, worship Jesus. They bow their necks and their backs and worship this tiny baby boy as their king, the world's king. Have you ever wondered what Mary and Joseph did at that moment? Knowing all that they knew about Jesus, were they likely to follow that example and also bend their necks and their backs in worship of their son, God's son? We don't know. But what an amazing example these men are. What an amazing example they are for you and for me and for everyone else that's ever heard any of these words of God that proclaim the amazing truths and possibilities of forgiveness and life, perfection and eternity that are only possible through his being born into this world, conceived in a virgin through the Holy Spirit, flawless and obedient and able to meet our biggest needs, to answer the requirements of every law of God and every law of man as our substitute, perfectly pushing away every temptation throughout a lifetime to make it possible that you and I might worship him in person for all eternity, as our king, as their king, as the king of the world. What amazing example these men are in worshiping the Savior that they had pursued, but then also honoring him with gifts worthy of a king. Gifts that some see a forecast of his life and his ministry, his death and his burial. Gifts that provided the necessary means in the immediate aftermath for Mary and Joseph to make a journey to a foreign land, guided by an angel, guided by God's promises to keep that child safe that he might live to adulthood and live and die for us. how much these great ones knew of all that was going on around them? How often they too might have scratched their heads and said, "What in the world are we doing?" The reality is they offer us an example to follow. Giving Jesus of their best, pursuing Him, knowing Him, worshiping Him, learning of Him, trusting Him with everything they had. If you and I choose to do the same, it changes everything. It changes every last thing about us and our lives from this moment forward. It changes everything about every relationship we invest ourselves in through the rest of our lives. It changes every last decision we make in spending every penny that we will ever have. It changes everything. For if He is everything they knew He was promised to be, if He was everything that they pursued Him to be, that they worshiped Him to be, that they trusted Him to be, and He is for you and me as well, it makes every moment different from this moment forward. Every time you and I are standing next to someone else who don't know everything you and I and these magi knew about Jesus, to give them the answers they need to make all of the connections that the Holy Spirit will guide them to see in the Word as they stand in wonder and scratch their heads and say, "What in the world?" It's the world's King. Worship Him. Amen.